Dargrave Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. Autumn Semester 2009. This is Business Finance FIL 240, Section 6. Lecture 20, delivered on October 29, 2009. The title of this lecture is Capital Budgeting Decision Making.
Today, capital budgeting decision making. In this topic, I am going to go through what I have shown you before. Net present value and internal rate of return. I will have to go a little more in depth because there are a couple of problems if you are going to consider doing both NPV and IRR. Now, they should come out to give you the same decision-making results, but in some unusual circumstances, they don't give you the same results. As a rule of thumb, if I were to look at projects, I would actually probably look at the internal rate of return. But the NPV, I would also appreciate that the NPV is a more powerful method. It is robust to some problems that internal rate of return has. Some of them theoretical, some of them quite practical. So let me start by just simply showing you two projects. Project A and Project B. And I want you to make sure you have your calculators out so that you can get the answers so that there's no doubt that you can get these answers yourself with your, now most, almost all of you have a TI, only a few have a BA, but it'll work out the same. Either the answers would come out to be the same either way. Let me get this fool thing out of my way here. Okay, now I'm going to do the year and then project, and I'll do talk about two projects here. Project A and Project B. And we'll have year 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll have both of these be five-year projects. And both of them are going to require a cash outlay of $1,000 to start the ball rolling. Now, Project 1 has cash flows in years 1 through 5 of $500, $400, $200, $200, and $100. Project B has a cash flow, positive cash flow in years 1 through 5 of $100, $200, $200, $400, and $700. Now, before I go any further, there's an old saying, when the pencil touches the paper, the mind goes out of gear. Before I go any further, madam, what do you notice about these two projects? What is different between, what is the difference of Project A and Project B? Okay. Well, don't use return. Cash flow. Now, let me tell you how you say this so you can look really impressive in an interview. The cash flow of Project A is tilted forward. The cash flow of Project B is tilted towards the out years. Now, generally, as a rule, more is preferred to less, and sooner is preferred to later, if it's something good. So if I were to just have a casual glance at these two projects, I'd say, well, just having a look at them, I think Project A looks kind of better because the cash flow is tilted forward in time. I'm not sure of that. I'll have to do some fancier stuff with my calculator. But I can see that there is a tilt forward in time on B. There's a tilt backward in time on A, and there's a tilt backward in time on B. But now, let us now do the net present value of each of these projects, and we will take a discount rate of 7%. Okay? I want you to do it on your calculator. On the TI 83 plus or 84, you hit apps, finance, and time value of apps, finance, and then go down to the NPV and hit enter on NPV on the NPV function. You'll come back to the front screen with NPV with an open parenthesis. And then there you are going to key in, the first thing you'll key in is for project A negative 1,000. And then you'll put a comma, and then you'll open braces. So you're going to see the calculator is going to spit back NPV and an open parenthesis. So from there, you are going to start pumping in the numbers. A negative 1,000, and then you're going to put in a comma, and then you're going to open up those braces, and you're going to push in the cash flow, the positive cash flow. 500, comma, 400, comma, 200, comma, 200, comma, 100. Close the braces, close the parentheses, and then hit enter. Your survey says, as you quickly try to push the numbers in, what do you get? Error, my ass. I didn't give you a percent. I'm sorry. NPV, you have to do a percent. Grr. You put the percent in first. God. Oh, Lord. They should have taken me out and shot me years ago. You have to put in this percent. And then comma, and then the negative 1,000. 7, comma, sorry, God, with NPIRR you don't put in the percent, and what do you get then? $2,397. It shouldn't be 1,000, should it? $203.80. You're staring at your calculator like it's talking about turds. What'd you do? Oh, you got to put in 1,000. Negative 1,000.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the first is a negative. Okay, you all got $203.80, right? Okay. Now, just go back through and do the same for the project B. You go apps, finance, down to NPV, hit NPV, and just pump in the cash flow for the next one. And again, at a discount rate of 7%. Can't believe I didn't tell you about that. That would be 100, 200, 200, 400, 700. Close the braces, close the parentheses. And what do you get there? 235.65. Okay. Now, do we accept or reject Project A? Talk to me. Do we accept or reject Project A? What say you? Talk to me. We accept it. It's positive. That's all there is. If it's positive, accept it. If it's negative, reject it. That's all there is. We're not complicated people in business. We want things up or down, and that's what it's going to be. If it's positive, accept it. If it's negative, reject it. That's all there is to it. So do we, now, you redeem yourself, madam. Oh, that's another thing entirely. We can have, this is an all-you-can-eat buffet. Have you, there's one here in town. Actually, there are a couple. There's one that's really good. I go there and I stay until the Chinese owner says, you stay too long, you leave now. And then I leave. But this is all-you-can-eat, okay? So we can have it. Uh-huh. And what about Project B? Can we have that one?
Yeah.
Yes, we can have all we want, as the lolcats would say. Okay, so we've got, we take both of the projects here. But then you say, well, okay, now, you see, we have a subtle thinker here. We can't have both of these projects. We can have one or the other. So we are going to have to choose. And in that case, what would we do? Which one would we choose here? Yeah, B. So if they are mutually exclusive projects, then we would kick out the one that had the lower NPV, even though it's positive. The question would be, why would they be mutually exclusive? Well, that would be possibly under some kind of capital rationing, some kind of problem that the company would have with raising the money for both projects, that is. I mean, if it's a good project, it's a good project. So there would be a hard question to answer. Why can't we have both projects? Well, sometimes you can't. They might actually use the same land. The two different projects would use the same piece of land, something like that, or use the same entrepreneurial talent. I just can't do both of these projects. So there are legitimate reasons why you would have mutual exclusivity, but there are also questions you have to answer. Look, if both projects are great, we have full access to capital markets. Why can't we have both of them? Now, so there is the mutual exclusivity issue. Now, they nuance this in the book, and you will find that there is nuance of it in discussions, in academic discussions, and in high-end grad business discussions all the time. But, and this is where I'm sure that there will be someone who might write to me and say, well, that's not true. I'll tell you what it boils down to. Like I said, business people are simple. If it's mutual exclusive, you take the higher NPV project, period. Now let's go back and let's do the internal rates of return. Let's do the internal rates of return on these projects. And that would require that you go through, well, before I do that, is there some issue that you might want to bring up? Suppose that you are an attack dog. You're on your way up in the company, and I'm some old fossil financial analyst. And I've got given these numbers. There's your goddamn NPV. And I'm just sitting there, and you want to take me on. Don't take me on the estimates of the cash flows, because that's not where we are in this course. And where would you take me on? What would you ask? Where would you find a weak point that you might want to bring up in a meeting and see me dance? Come on, look at it. Look at what I've got right over there. Look at that. Talk to me. What? You see anything? Sir, you see anything right there? Is there anything at all that you could hit me on there? You don't see it, do you? Is there anyone who would like to try it? Okay, here it is. Where did the 7% come from? Well, you know where it came from? I'm going to tell you a secret. I'll tell you where it came from. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, okay? It came out of my ass. Uh-huh. Yes, it did. I didn't tell you where I got that 7%. I just pulled it out of the air. What if I'm wrong? What if it's 9%, 10%? Both of those could have been negative NPV projects in that case. And then all of my recommendations are just completely out the window. Okay? So you have to have some justification for where that 7% came from. Now, if I'm going to come back and answer you, where did the 7% come from? And I don't want to offend you by saying I pulled it out of my ass. What would I say? Is there anything I could say to justify a 7%?
I made it up.
Well, that's the same thing as pulling out of my ass, except that it's just, yes, it's a nicer way. I didn't make it up, though. Maybe there's something I did to get a 7%. Maybe I called Mom. Maybe I called the psychic hotline. Or maybe I used, you don't remember it, how I get percentages, how I get discount rates. You remember the method? It's called CAPM. Maybe I used CAPM to get a 7. I found the beta of the project. I searched through. Okay, here's a company. Here's some companies that do just this kind of project. Here's their betas. And I use that beta and use the R sub M, the R sub F, and I build a discount rate. Okay? So I could say, you're asking me where I got the 7%? Well, I looked at some companies. I found some that do just, all they do is that kind of project A, and the projects like A and B. And I said, okay, I found that in general, the betas of those companies' stocks are about 1.2. Well, the R sub M on the market right now is, about, let's say, 12%. The risk-free rate right now is approximately, 2% right now. And so I said that the risk of these the return on this kind of a stock would then be 2% plus 1.2 times 12% minus 10. Oh, God, I'm missing by a mile here. 2% plus 1.2 times. Let's take this to be a 6%, an 8%. Yeah, that'll work. Let me try. I'm just hoping I get something. R sub F is 8%. The Fed's really lost its cool. Scared about inflation. And so 2% plus, I don't know. That's not even going to come close to what I want. 5%, is it? No, 4.8%. 6.8%. So I rounded that to 7%. God, cool. Right through, that's good. Yeah, that's what I did. Hell, I told you I'm an old financial analyst. I can't do things perfectly anymore. But there you go. But you see, just saying 7%, that's not good enough. You got to have some justification. If you're going to discount cash flows, you have to have some justification for how why you chose the discount rate that you chose. And so realistically speaking, yeah, we use the NPVs. Yeah, of course, an NPV has to have a discount rate. Otherwise, you get the error on your calculator like you did at first. And I did that just so you would see that error. Never mind. Okay, but you have to have some justification for the discount rate that you're going to pull out. I mean, the CAPM is decent justification, but you have to actually do it. You have to go through and find a beta that is legitimately linked to these kinds of projects. And then from there, get the R sub M and the R sub F, and then build your cap M and pull a discount rate out. Okay? Now, before we do the next... I'm sorry. Let's go and get an internal rate of return for each project now. Let's do the IRRs for the projects. And to do that, you hit finance... the apps, finance, go down to the internal rate of return selection, hit enter, and you'll come back to the main screen, and there you will see IRR with an open parenthesis. And in this case, all you do for that was for A and that was for B up there. Now we're going for A, we'll put in -1,000, comma, open the braces, 500, comma, 400, comma 200, comma 200, comma 100, close the braces, close the parentheses, and you hit enter. And the survey says, what do you get for your IRR? 16. For the first one, you get 16.82%. And then you go back through and you do it again for the next one, IRR. You hit apps, finance, go down and choose IRR, hit that one, and you'll come back to the main screen. It'll have IRR with an open parenthesis, and then you just punch in your numbers again, -1,000, comma, and then you open up the braces, 100, comma, 200, comma, 200, comma, 400, comma, 700. And what do you get there? $13.28. Well, here's your problem with internal rates of return, is that an IRR is nice, but what does it tell you? You're going to have to still have a hurdle rate. Let's say our hurdle rate is 7%. Well, both of these meet the hurdle rate. Okay, that's great. But what happens if we have mutual exclusivity? Which project do you choose by the internal rate of return method? Which project do you choose? Talk to me. A. But net present value method told us to take which one? Uh-oh. We have an issue here. This is a serious issue. Because the two methods are, in this case, not always, but in this case, going to give you different decisions. If I am going to have mutual exclusivity of projects, then I would, by the net present value method, take project B. By the internal rate of return method, I would take project A. And even in... if there is not mutual exclusivity, the internal rate of return method will still key on a hurdle rate. And in this case, if our hurdle rate really is 7% on investments, then we would take both of them. But notice here that in the unusual case of mutual exclusivity of projects, you will get different answers. So how do we do it in the real world? Well, you can go into all kinds of odd nuances, like the book explains, and you can go on the web, type in mutually exclusive projects, and you'll get all these academic discussions and some high-level business discussions. But the reality is that the way we do it in where I've done it before, we will use NPV method. That's how we make our decision if it's mutual exclusive. We take the NPV. Because the internal rate of return method has some issues with it that are somewhat theoretical, somewhat practical. Even though I dearly love the internal rate of return method, the NPV method is how we rank. So first you have to calculate, then you have to rank. And if there is mutual exclusivity, you take the project that has the higher NPV, not the higher IRR. The higher NPV. But notice something odd though in this case. The higher NPV project actually has its cash flows tilted to the out years. So that's an argument that someone could, I could, as an analyst, I could say, we're going to take project B because mutual exclusive A and B are, well, we'll take project B because it has a higher NPV. Someone could say, yeah, but its cash flows are tilted out into the out years. And so that's not good from a business risk perspective. Okay, fine. That's the decision criterion. We're going to look at it this way. And this is how we will just do it. Ideally, we would prefer cash flows that are tilted inward. But this one is clearly Project B dominates on net present value. It does not dominate on internal rate of return, though. So you could have a legitimate discussion, and after everyone had argued at the management meeting, even though the criterion would be take the higher NPV project, there could be a choice of Project A instead on slightly fuzzier arguments. So even though I can give you direct guidelines, just do it this way, in the real world, it could actually come out with the decision being against that mechanical method on fuzzier grounds. Here, the mechanical method, if they're not mutually exclusive, if they're just independent projects, take them both. And if they are mutually exclusive, take Project B because it has a higher NPV. But there might be some argument, yeah, but the tilt in the out to the out years of the cash flow, that's risk for us, we don't like it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go with Project A. And besides, it has a higher internal rate of return. Now I can shoot that one down right away. As much as I do like internal rate of return, and that's, you remember when we were doing that one on the worksheet, and I had those returns to the different projects in the investment opportunity schedule? That's where they were coming from. That's where they come from, okay? So that's so it does have huge importance to it, the internal rate of return method does, because we need that if we're going to rank projects, investment opportunity schedule and all that kind of stuff. We need the IRR to be able to rank the projects. Because in the end, it's not just accept or reject, because we still have to look at the marginal cost of capital. There's another problem. Here's one of the two deep problems with internal rate of return. If your cash flow switches sign more than once, and I think I mentioned this, the internal rate of return actually has a bunch of different numbers. There are several internal rates of return. Because it doesn't have a monotonically declining shape. It actually goes up and then down. So you'll cross the axis a couple of times on it, the NPV axis a couple of times. But there's a worse problem. You see this number like 16.82%? Behind that number is the rather subtle assumption that every time money comes in on the project, you reinvest it in the project. So when this first $500 in year one comes in, the assumption behind an internal rate of return calculation is that $500 is plowed right back into the project and reinvested in that project or an equivalent return project. And that's not really a sound assumption in a lot of cases. You remember the idea of compounding interest. You're assuming that you calculate interest on the interest on the interest and all that. That's actually playing out in our internal rates of return. The assumption that the money that is coming in is returned into an investment of the same risk and return level. So that $500 would have to be put back into an investment that was yielding 16.82%. Then the $400 that comes in next year, that would have to be going back into an investment that was yielding 16.82%. That's not a very realistic assumption. Really, at the end of the day, no, that's not how projects, that's not how business projects work. At least I hope they don't. You're going to be bleeding off that cash inflow as it comes in, putting it into other projects, sending it out as dividends, all that kind of good stuff. Just putting it into your basic fixed costs of operation, all that kind of stuff. So the internal rate of return method has enough deficiencies that are practical that we don't want to use it, except at the end when we are looking at marginal cost of capital, that kind of thing. So now when we go to do these problems, I would ask you, calculate an internal rate of return for me, okay? But when I ask you to tell me the decision that you would make on projects, you use NPV. You use the net present value. How do you get the discount rate? Either I would tell it to you or I would give you the pieces of the CAPM so that you could get it yourself. Okay? So again, let me make this mechanical for you because, like I said, in business we are not nuanced people too often unless we're really drunk. So the first thing is calculate your get your cash flow estimates laid out. Work out a discount rate. Either look for one that I've given you or calculate it from CAPM from the pieces that would be necessary to get it from CAPM. and then use that discount rate to calculate your net present values. Now, if they're independent projects, just take any projects that have positive NPV. If they're mutually exclusive projects, you rank the projects. Okay? You rank them. Then to calculate the internal rate of return, just hammer it through. Just hammer the thing through. It's just a calculator exercise. Nothing complicated about it. Now, let's try one more. Let me throw an oddball. Let me throw a kind of a strange animal at you. We'll have 3-year cash flow horizon on two projects, A and B. And these are kind of odd numbers, but humor me. Suppose that project A has an initial cash outflow of $350, and that's the case for project B as well. These will cost the same on the outbound leg. Now, project A is a 1-year deal. Now, project A in year one is going to spit back in your face $400. Project B, on the other hand, is going to spit back in year one just $16. In year two, it will spit back just $16. And then in year three, it gives you a nice little whopper of $466. Kind of unusual looking cash flow patterns. So you can see again that tilting phenomenon. A definitely, no question about it, tilts forward. Just $400 a year later. Throw in $350, get $400 out. B clearly tilts well out compared to project A. So, again, just for lack of any creativity, do the NPV at 7%. Okay? And I want you to do it. Just key it in. I want to make sure that you've got the mechanics of this down. That way there's no sweat with these kinds of problems on a quiz or an exam. Just pound it in and get your answer out. Now what do you say? What do you get for the NPVs? Well, for the first project, what's the net present value? $2,382. If it's an if these are independent projects, do we accept or reject? Accept. That's all there is to it. Now, what do you get for the NPV for project B? $59 and what? 32 cents. Excellent. Now let's go and pound out the internal rate of return. Again, recognizing that we would have to have a hurdle rate in mind, and that would be based in at least in good modeling on marginal cost of capital issues. But let's get our hurdle. Let's get our IRR for these, and what does it come out to be? 14.29. 14.29 for project A, 14.29% for project A, and for project B, whip it through there, the calculator. God, it's so much easier these days than it used to be to do this. This would actually take a whole class just to get one of those sometimes. 12.96. Well, there's that bugger again, 12.96. Okay, there you go. There you go. So if they are, let's say, okay, by NPV, we would accept both of them. With internal rate of return, and if they're independent. and independent, and if our hurdle rate were, let's say, 7%, we'd definitely take both of them on the IRR method. If they're mutually exclusive, the NPV method gives us a different answer from the internal rate of return method. So if they were mutually exclusive, we would use the NPV method and we would take project B, even though it has a lower rate of return, even though its cash flow is tilted outward into the out years. It still meets the dominant criterion, the NPV criterion, which is not dependent upon some of the nasty little hidden assumptions of internal rate of return. So even though you can say, well, the internal rate of return of project A is better, yeah, well, the internal rate of return method is assuming that you're reinvesting money at the internal rate of return. So take your, you pays your penny, you takes your pick. However, at the end of the day, let's say that they're independent projects. We accept both of them. We take them both on. That does not mean that they are still not subject to what I taught you on Tuesday, the IOS-MCC analysis. Okay? You still need to look at your marginal cost of capital. You're saying, well, wouldn't that be in the 7%? No. No. So let me show you what I mean by that. Let's say they were independent projects. They're both positive NPV. We'll take them both on. And I'm just going to throw up here on the board just an MCC IOS chart. And I've worked my way through here. And I've ranked the two projects, Project A, Project B. Now, I've got my marginal cost of capital, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, 20%. Oh, that's 20. Jeez, sorry. Okay. In our capital budget. Now, they're independent. I'm saying, well, let's say that, what is the matter with me? Okay. 2, 4, 6, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18%. And this is our cost, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to pull some breakpoints out of my ass on this. And I'm going to say, okay, with marginal cost of capital, I can borrow up to, $400 at 10%. My first breakpoint comes at $400. But then my cost of capital goes up to, let's say, 14%. That's where my breakpoint. If I borrow more than that, it's up there. See my marginal cost of capital schedule? I'm just creating a breakpoint of $400. Okay, at $400, if I borrow more than $400, my interest rate goes up from, my marginal cost of capital goes from 10% up to 14%. Okay? Now, let's look at our investment opportunity schedule. Now, by the investment opportunity schedule, I would schedule Project A first on the work list. You see that? Do you see that? Okay, I want to make sure you see that I would schedule A first because it's got the higher IRR. Okay, so I'm scheduling that one in, and it's just a little bit above 14%, and I'm going to
take on, I have to get $350 from the bank for that one. And matter of fact, let me do that in this colored, in a blue pen. Okay, I'm going to have to take on, get $350 from the bank for that one. And then I'm going to schedule Project B, which will return me just shy of 13%. Right there. So do I take both projects or not? Nope. Yeah, at the end of the day, the IOS MCC schedule has, even though NPV told us yes, IRR, if the, let's say our 7% is our threshold, is our hurdle rate, IRR told us to, but at the end of the day, the bank kicked us in the ass because the marginal cost of capital jumped on us to a point there where it turned out that Project B would not give us as much as it cost for the last dollar of Project B. See, Project B is going to pull us 12.96%, but the last dollar that we would need to do Project B was running us 14%. So we would actually have to say no to Project B here by an IOS MCC schedule. Now, this is actually pretty subtle stuff, and I would not take you quite this far on a quiz or an exam. But I do want you to get the hang of the idea that this decision criterion, we try to make things easy, and not easy, but try to make things clear in black and white in business. And we go to our graves trying to do that. So that's why I said, do the NPV. Even though the IRR could be higher, do the NPV. Make that your decision criteria, okay? If you've got mutual exclusivity. If you don't have mutual exclusivity, all you say is if NPV is positive, except if NPV is negative, reject. See how simple I try to make it. But every now and then, the simple kind of seeps out into a more complex world where we also have to take into account the marginal cost of our capital. And even if we did take on both projects by an NPV analysis or by an IRR analysis, at the end of the day, we still have to take into account how much is it going to cost us to get the money to do these projects. Yeah. It's going to cost us only $350, but in this MCC schedule, and again, I just pulled this out of my butt. I didn't actually do those breakpoint calculations or anything like that like I did in the worksheet. But in the way I've drawn it here, the last dollar I'll spend is going to hurt me for Project B because I'm getting only 12.96 return at best on Project B, at best. And that would be if I was reinvesting the money all along the way. But the money is going to cost me. The last dollar I borrow to do that project is going to cost me more than that. That's when you just say no. You quit. Well, yeah, but at first it was working for you. See, look right here. See, it was working right in here. See how the cost was lower than the return? So why don't we just start the project? Don't start it if it's going to eventually cost you more than it's worth. Don't ever do that. I mean, the lesson is clear. I mean, do any of you know the scandal with, like, John Edwards? He had an affair with a crazy girl, and now his wife is hating him and all that. Don't start something if it's fun at the beginning, and then it's going to hurt like hell, and you lose your job, you lose your Senate seat, you lose your presidency. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't care how much fun it is at the beginning. See how this was fun? See how much money you were making right off the bat? See how the return was better than the cost of the capital? It's not worth it, because by the end of the project, you're getting your ass kicked. And so we don't do it. That's why this IOS MCC schedule is actually kind of important. And that's why I showed it to you first before the simple stuff here. And I'll ask you the simple stuff. On the quiz, I'm just going to ask you. Couple of cash flows, calculate the NPV, calculate the internal rate of return. If they're independent, what do you do? If they're mutual exclusive, what do you do? Okay? Just do what I tell you there. Make it simple. But keep in the back of your mind that I didn't waste my time teaching you the IOS MCC stuff. Because at the end of the day, even if the simple criteria say take them both on,
If the cost of something is more than you're going to get on it, then you have to stop. Even if all the other things feel so right, I know it feels right, but I know it's wrong, go with your brain. Because even though it feels so right, in the end, you'll end up in the newspapers, just another sorry ass who got kicked because he wanted some fun, and it was fun at the beginning, but it wasn't at the end. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.